Good evening, everyone. Warm welcome to all of you. It's good to have you join us for today's prayer meeting. So let's commit this time to God in prayer before we listen to the preaching of the word. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for who you are. We want to thank you that you are a God who is presence is with us, dear Lord, that you are with your people. And dear Lord, we pray that even as we meditate on your word and consider this truth, that we will be blessed, dear Lord. That we will be assured, that we will rejoice and grow in strength and courage, knowing that you are with us. Speak to us, anoint this moment, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today's sharing text is taken from Exodus chapter 33, verses 1 to 19. And part of it is a very well-known prayer, a very powerful statement which was prayed by Moses, and he says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. So what we're going to do is that today is I'm going to read sections of the text, and we will work through the different sections. There are quite a number of things for us to consider and reflect on as we listen to this word and consider the whole subject of God's presence with his people. All right. So a little bit about the background. This just happens after while Israel had built an idol. Okay, if you hear fireworks at the back, yeah, there's a lot of it happening here. Just story. So Israel had turned into idolatry, and this is the whole incident where they would build a calf because Moses was with God. So let's see the text prior to this to help us understand the situation. In chapter 32, verses 1 to 4, it says, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they had handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with tools. Then he said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. So what you can notice in the text is there is a very strong association in the minds of the people between Moses and the presence of God. And you can see clearly God spoke through Moses and how God led Israel out of Egypt through Moses. Okay, so when Moses was away, they straight away wanted a replacement, out of sight, out of mind. And very quickly, what Aaron did was he kind of replaced God. He just built this calf and he tells the people, these are your gods. These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. Okay. Sorry for that. And he quickly said, and so what has happened is, for those people, a lot of their faith is in what they see, what they experience. And we can see that happen again and again when they experience hardships, when they go through difficulties, then they get angry and they turn against God. And what they think of God changes. And when things go well, then they start praising and enjoying God. And very quickly also, God is replaced by an idol. So the whole mindsets of Egypt and idolatry in such a nation continues to work in your mind, okay? So this happened, and while God was giving Moses the commandments and his plans for his people, this has taken place, all right? So God had come, and he had sent a plague to the people, and then Moses was interceding that God would not destroy the people. Okay, and what we're going to look at is the third intercession which Moses prays on behalf of Israel. So here it says from verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought out of Egypt, and go to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, and Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way. When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you are stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you, even for a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments and I will decide what to do with you. So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. Okay. So the thing is, God is pulling himself out of it and he's telling, yes, okay, you leave this place, you go on ahead, I'll give you what I've promised to your ancestors, and I will keep my part of it, but I will not come with you, and I will send an angel before you, you know, to drive out the many tribes, but I will not go with you. And God speaks of his limited presence. As much as he's going to be still involved in Israel's journey towards the promised land, and he will protect them, and he would send an angel, and he would make sure that they have it. But he's saying he's not going to be with them. All right. And there's a mercy aspect of God in this command. Because God is saying, if I come with you, I will cannot tolerate the kind of evil people you are, and I might just destroy you along the way because you are a stiff-necked people. You are so stubborn. So the problem of sin and rebellion and idolatry has led God to present himself to limit his presence among his people. Okay, and this is the problem of sin. So God's said this to the people of Israel because of their sinfulness or their hard-heartedness. And when the people heard this, they were distressed, okay, because they know all these years God has been leading them. And one moment when Moses is not around, they say, who this fellow Moses went away. But again, when Moses comes back, then suddenly, you know, the whole paradigm shifts and God is now in the center. And they are all so worried because Moses is there and God is speaking through him, and they are wondering now who is going to lead them, what is going to happen to them. And therefore, a time of mourning was declared, all right, and they had to take off their jewelry. And so it just struck them very hard, but it's in a very strange way, simply because that's how they were in their faith. And now suddenly they are seeing all these things and they're hearing all these things. They were frightened, okay, because how the future is going to be like, and without God, without his leading, it's a difficult prospect to imagine, especially when from day one, all the acts, the plagues in Egypt and all the acts of deliverance and the provision, manna and food and so forth, it's all from God himself. So suddenly the whole perspective changed again. Okay. And nine, when you read the narrative, there's a shift in the narrative. Moses, the writer, begins to speak about Moses and his prayer life and this place called the Tent of Meeting. So this was before the tabernacle was built. Okay, this was a place of prayer. So when we look at the text, it says now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it a Tent of Meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the Tent of Meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at entrance, while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped each at the entrance of their tent. Okay? The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. So this is what's something that amazing happened. Okay, so this was a place, was set there to see God. And the thing is, what we must be mindful of, you know, this is the very people who replace God with an idol, with a cow, an image of a cow, okay? But yet, okay, these are the very people who have seen how God's presence is with them and how intimate the relationship between God and Moses is. And again, when they see it, it kind of brings perspective. Okay, they because they know when Moses goes out and pray, something happens. Okay, and what they see is that a pillar of cloud descends in front of the tent, and they know the presence of God is among them, and all of them would worship in front of his tent. And as the narrator speaks and reveals this great thing, and how the people witness this and worship, the narrator moves further and gives insight of the relationship between God and Moses. And God would speak to Moses face to face. Okay, so God would come to that place of meeting. When Moses went to inquire of the Lord, God would come then, but just not just his presence, but there would be this communion, this conversation, and God would reveal, you know, what he intends to reveal to Moses. So it speaks of that relationship. And you find, you know, of course, Joshua was never left that place. So the people knew who was leading them, but Moses knew it in a greater way. Okay, he understood who was with him and who was his God. So when you look at all of this, I mean, we also can understand why sometimes it's very challenging to kind of work out what it means to have the presence of God in our life. You know, many times for us, is seeing is, you know, moves us to believing. Okay, and in many cases, we have to feel to believe. And it's not that God does not open our eyes to the things that he does, and it does not mean that we do not experience the presence of God through all this. But we do understand the limitations if we were to build our entire faith and understanding of the presence of God and our understanding of the presence of God on just seeing and feeling. Okay, you find that, you know, when it's all about that, and then suddenly we cannot see and suddenly we cannot feel, then the tendency is to replace God with an idol that which we can see, which we can feel, and which we can handle. But rather, you find that the faith of Moses was different. Okay, you know, it was reflection, it was, you know, thinking and considering the things of God. It was in prayer, it was building that relationship with God. So it moved beyond seeing and feeling. It moved into knowing God, hearing from him, resting on him, depending on him, asking him for guidance and so forth. And all the challenges that came upon him because of the leadership, he would bring it before God and he would worship God. So there's a whole different dynamic. And that's what we must bear in mind. God invites us to invest in this relationship. If we want to be familiar with the presence of God, then it's not about just going after feelings and, you know, trying to just see new things. And that has happened. I've known people who would run after one revival meeting to another, and they just want to get caught up in all these things to stir their faith. But when all that is over, they're still left empty because they feel that, you know, only that place, you know, that experience can help me in my faith. But they don't understand the whole dynamics of relationship with God and how God wants that more than anything else with us. Okay. So you find that if you look at the New Testament, that's what God does in our Jesus through faith in him. You know, he is God's presence with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And it's that relationship with him that God wants us to have through Jesus Christ. That there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in our life. That is prayer, which God instituted the church, if not a body of Christ. And together we experience God's presence, the Holy Communion, the Word of God and ministries and many other facets. But we see these are the key things for us to know who God is and to build our relationship with God. So one thing is very clear, you know, like the people of Israel, if you consider the church, our present age, and we look at all those things, God is there. Okay, God is with us. God is in the church. God is in his people. God is in your hearts. But the whole thing is, you know, are we building a relationship with God? Are we looking to God? Are we focused on Him? Are we truly considering the, you know, what it means to grow in His goodness, in His love, in His kindness? Okay, so that's the challenge here. And what gets in the way is when we idolize the whole feelings and seeing thing, okay? But when we cast aside all these things and move forward in faith, then we grow in our relationship with God. So as when God said that to Moses, that he's not going to follow them and he's going to limit his presence with them, Moses responds with this prayer, okay? And from verse 12, it says, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion in whom I will have compassion." So the whole thing is a pretty amazing prayer. So we just let's look at a few things that happens. Okay. So when you see how Moses prays, he understands, you know, the whole thing is about God, okay? It's about having God in his life. It's about having God in the center of all things. All right. So he tells God, "You asked me to lead, but who will go with me? Who will you send with me?" Okay. And then he says, "You said to me, you know, that I know you by name, okay? That you have this relationship with me. So if that is true, if it's pleased, then continue to teach me your ways so that I may continue to live to please you, okay, to find favor with you." Then he says, "Remember, this nation is your people." And God responds, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." And then he says this, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me from your people and from all the other people on the face of earth?" So that's the thing. As God moves back and says, "You go, you do what you want." You know, the prayer of faith is to say, "God, don't move away. Be the center." The prayer of faith is to hold on to God's promises, to believe that this God invites us into that relationship, is to persist, to press on into that invitation, into that status given to us that we are God's children. Okay, so that's the key thing. And then the second thing is the identity as believers. You know, Moses would say, "It's you who called me. It's you who sent me. And I know you by name and you have found favor in me. And if you are pleased with me, teach me that I may know you." Okay. And your presence is what distinguishes us. Okay. And that's the second thing. Moses realized, you know, that the people are nothing without God. This whole thing, the journey out of Egypt and everything, centers upon, you know, the fact that it is God who is their God and they are God's people. Okay. So that's why leads him to prayer, because if God is taken out of the picture, then there's no Israel. There's no Moses. There's no story of deliverance. There's no hope of a promised land. There's nothing there. Okay. But when God has come, the whole identity of knowing God and knowing His ways brings life into the people of Israel and gives them the identity as known by God, people of God. And this is the thing. And that's the same thing that applies to us. It's about our identity. What should usher us back is, first, we want God to be you know, we want it to be all about God. And the second is we know that everything that makes us Christian, that makes us human, that makes us, you know, right and focus, it all centers around God. Nothing else can take his place. Okay. So that's what happens, you know, when you're pursuing his presence and if you want to grow in that whole thing, it's a whole process of recentering, because many times you will find that, you know, in situations you would feel that God's presence is limited, it's like he's out of the picture, but he is not. He's always in control, and he challenges us and invites us to, you know, be mindful of the truth that he dwells in our heart. And what we need to do in times of prayer is to move towards that place. As we pray, we are mindful of his presence with us. We are mindful of his promises. We are mindful of all the things that he has done in our life. We are mindful of the calling that is placed upon us, of the salvation, of the future blessings that we have in him. And this goes on each day. And we constantly recenter, you know, and the more we do it, the more we understand that we serve a living God who dwells with his people. We have become more clear and mindful of the presence of the Holy Spirit within our lives. So this is the prayer. And what is the amazing thing is the intimacy, you know, the thing that God is willing to do when we pray such prayers, when we pursue that relationship and his presence more than anything. So when you look at this scripture and just pay attention to the highlighted and underlined words, okay? So from verse 17, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you asked me because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name, okay? So this is God. Okay, then Moses said, now show me your glory. Okay, and this is what belongs to God, his glory. And the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Okay, and it is the presence of God reveals to us. And God says that I will show you, I will pass in front of you, I will walk with you, I will remind you, I will walk through you, I will bless you, I will teach you, I will guide you. Okay, God's presence within our life. And that's what happens when we start to recenter, when we start to focus on God, when we start to pray in faith, believing, you know, the relationship that we have with God in Jesus Christ, okay? The friendship that he has opened for us to have with the Father, okay, through him. And this wonderful thing that God has done. And so what happens is suddenly it's all about this intimacy. You know, God says to each one of us, you know, and makes us realize, you know, that we matter to God, that God knows us, that God knows our heart, that God wants to speak to us and show us his goodness, and God will respond to such prayers. And what God really wants to know is his glory, how great, how good, how holy, how perfect he is, so that our lives will find rest and hope in him. So this is the presence is of God. So as we think about this whole text, there are a few things that I want to you to think about, and I've listed here, okay? So the first one, when the truth hits home, there's no life without God. And be mindful, you know, this is so real, okay? There's one thing that we cannot afford is to try to live our life without prayer, without seeking him, without relying on his guidance. If all our life is about response to what's happening in the world, what this person is doing to us, what we feel, you know, what we want, what we like, then God is out of the picture. All right. And we all know very well, when you start going on that direction, any of us start just being so caught up with all the things of this world, it kind of sucks the life out of us. It gets difficult to pray. it gets difficult to come before God. And many times, I think many of you have experienced it too, it really gets hard, difficult, dry. Our language changes, our dreams changes. The way we respond to God is like, you know, he has left us and we have to just go our own way. We are there in that place of brokenness and loneliness all over again. We have limited the presence of God within our lives. Okay. And so when you get stuck in that place, one of the main problems that can happen is the problem of idolatry. Something else has replaced the centrality of God. It could be us, ourselves, what we feel, what we want, what we desire. It could be something of this world. And we just want, you know, everything to be in such a way where we can see and we can handle things so that we can believe there is hope. Okay, and it's so easy to see money, power, glory, people's acceptance in this world. Okay, it's so easy to handle those things. It's easy to put your hand on those things. But the problem is, the moment we start doing that, we are stuck. Okay, I think you all have to understand when you build that calf, you are stuck in that place where you cannot see God, where you have forgotten God, you know, where he's no more the center of your life. And idolatry is a real problem that continues on today. So when we lose track of the presence of God, when we lose track of the reality of God, there is always room for Satan to offer us a replacement. Okay. All right. So and we must be careful that this does not hinder us from coming into the presence of God. The next point is, most times it's better not to say much. All we have to do is to gaze at his glory and goodness. If you hit a wall, if you are troubled, okay, you know, and even if you're learning how to pray, I think the good way to start, the best way to start is to start looking at God, start centering on who he is. Okay. Learn how to move the focus from all the things you're experiencing to who he is. His goodness rests in him. Be reminded, you know, that it is him. It is not you who is going to help yourself. It is not others who are in control of your life. It is him. And his goodness brings rest into your heart. His goodness brings courage and hope. And you're reminded that, you know, the whole universe, the entire creation and all of history is moving towards his plan for his glory, for his purpose. So that prayer, that idea that no matter what is happening, my focus is to know him, to behold his goodness, to grow in that knowledge of him, should never, you know, be replaced by any other pursuit in our lives. That must be at the heart of prayer. That must be at the heart of reading scriptures and meditating. That must be at the heart of serving, coming to church and building relationships. So all this must be, it's so important that we be mindful of all of this. The next point is, God knows us. Okay, as we've seen this text. And because God knows us, this is a good reason for friendship with God. Okay. There's no person in this world who knows you the way God knows you. And there's no friend in this world who can sustain you and complete you the way he can. Okay, so he really knows you. And if there's only one person that where you can just lay down everything and talk about everything, it would be him. All right. And so we must be mindful. And that's the thing. The reason why there was that tantrum meeting is for that very reason. Okay. That was not a special place. That became a special place because the friendship. That's the place Moses would take refuge and worship and know God. You know, amidst of all the things that was happening around. So that's the same thing. When you're thinking of prayer, think of it as, you know, a move towards building that relationship with God so that you may be able to commune with him face to face. And then the next thing, he invites us to know him. The more we get to know him, the more we learn to rest in his presence. And that's as I said earlier, that is the whole point. You know, many times we are, you know, shaken because we don't know how good, how great God is. And the more we know that He's holy and good, and that He knows better, you know, the more we'll be willing to let Him be our Lord and Savior in every given circumstance, that we will allow Him to lead our lives and guide us. So, Judge, when you are looking at all this, I do want to encourage you. This is an invitation for you to, for all of us, to invest in prayer, being mindful of all these things. Okay, I know all of us struggle from time to time. But during the time of struggle, let's not just continue to limit the presence of God in our lives. You know, let us believe that God wants to be in the center of it. And I just pray that this bold prayer and asking God, you know, it's You who have called me. It is You who have saved me. Yeah. I don't know how I can handle my work or my family or this situation or that or everything, but it is You, oh God. It has always been You, and You must help me. And as you're overwhelmed and all this kind of things, you know, allow that relationship, that friendship, to bring peace and joy and excitement into your heart, because God is with you, all right? And let that meeting be that place of rest for each one of you. And most of all, let the revelation of His glory and His goodness, you know, continue to be new, and you receive it in such a way that you know you can let Him be God in all the circumstances, and you can celebrate that He is there. And so if we see it and look at the lives of saints throughout the ages, whether even in the most challenging of circumstances, this is what they did. You know, it was always centering on Christ, on His presence, on what He's done. So, Church, we're going to go into a time of prayer. First, I'll just leave this up, you know, and just pray, reflecting on this, and then I'll pass the time to Andrew to lead the prayer section of this. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for Your presence with us. We thank You that You are real. And dear Lord, at this moment, speak to our hearts. Sometimes, Lord, we build our understanding on the wrong things. And one thing You invite us to know is the reality of Your presence. Dear Lord, we live in a world where it's all about just seeing things, having things, experiencing things in the here and now. Our felt experiences is so loud that it commands all our attention, and we want to shape You to fit that mold, dear Lord. An idol in which we can touch, see, and handle, dear Lord. But You are a holy God. You are above all these things. None of these earthly things, Lord, can be compared to You. Nothing, Lord, can do justice to Your glory and greatness. And so, Lord, we pray that we will truly take time to think about this relationship we have with You, this place. Let's be mindful of the image as we enter the tent of prayer. It's You who come to us. And You who say to us, I know You. I know Your heart. Now, I want You to know me. Let us be mindful that when we reflect on the past and even think about the future, there is no better identity, no better way to think about it other than to be called a people who are saved and held and sent by You, dear Lord. A people living for Your purpose and glory. Dear Lord, let us learn how to recenter, Lord, knowing that it is you who must be in the center of everything, dear Lord, that we are. Dear Lord, we pray that we will not take the lack of prayer lightly, Lord, the lack of communion and relationship with you. But rather, Lord, this will be a lifelong investment. And we also pray, Lord, Father, that you would help us to discern the idols and the sin that get in our way. Please forgive us, dear Lord. You are holy God. And we thank you that we are under the blood of the Lamb. But still, Lord, if we have done things to push you away, just if we have allowed things to get in our way, if we have allowed our own rebellion and stiff-necked attitude to stand in our way, forgive us and heal us, Lord. Let us submit to your holy will. Let us surrender, Lord, to your Lordship. Let us seek your presence. Let us seek your to know you more than anything else. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, dear Lord. We want to thank you for all that you're doing. We just want to ask, Lord Father, that you continue to raise workers to the harvest field. Dear Lord, we pray for souls to be saved. We know, Lord Father, that you are doing amazing things and you are touching hearts and you are drawing people to you, Lord. And we pray that you would just open our eyes to be aware of these things that are happening around us, that we will be part of this work, that we will pray that we will seek you, dear Lord. We pray, Lord Father, for our family members, our friends, even for Christians who have moved away from you, dear Lord, and we pray, Lord, that we will be sent, Lord, to remind, to encourage, to build, Lord, and to proclaim, Lord, Father, your word. We also pray, Lord, that you would send us as instruments of healing, that through the relationships and community work and every ministry, that you would show us, Lord, how to be that instruments of healing, because there's so many broken, weary, and wounded people around us, dear God. Dear Lord, we pray that we will be bold in this journey, knowing that you go ahead of us, Lord, that you are able to do all these things. Mindful, Lord, of the power of the cross, the power of your name, dear Lord, to heal, to set people free, Lord, Father. So, Lord, we pray that this year you will move this church, Lord, for your glory, for your kingdom. We also pray, Lord, Father, for unity in mind and spirit, that you would continue, Lord, to unite the church in your name, that it will always be built around you, for your glory, for your honor, dear Lord, that you would put us on this solid ground. Father, we want to thank you for all the families and all the celebrations that are taking place. And we pray, even as people are still meeting each other, that you would bless every occasion. You also grant journey mercies for those who are traveling, dear Lord. And Lord, most of all, even as we have spoken much about prayer, we pray that each of us will just desire, Lord, to know what you are doing in our lives, dear Lord. I think, Lord, that's what we really need to do. What you are doing, Lord, in our lives, in this church. To be clear, to be surrendered, to be at rest, Lord, in your good work. We thank you, Lord, that you've gathered all of us in your name. We pray that you continue to bless us during this week. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.